welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Wednesday, April 27th, and we had three games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Miami, the 1-8 matchup in the Eastern Conference, and the Heat defeated the Hawks 97-94. Miami has now won the series 4-1. They are advancing to the second round of the playoffs, and the Hawks are now eliminated from the postseason. In the 2-7 matchup in the Western Conference, the Grizzlies defeated the Timberwolves in Memphis 111-109. So the Grizz now have a 3-2 series lead heading back to Minnesota for Game 6. And finally, the 1-8 matchup in the Western Conference, the Suns defeated the Pelicans 112-97 in Phoenix. So the Suns now also have a 3-2 series lead headed back to New Orleans for Game 6 of that series. Alright, so we will break down all three of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing and leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Miami, where the Heat not only defeated the Hawks in this game, but they have eliminated Atlanta from the postseason entirely. They won this game 97-94, closing out the series 4-1. And they were led in this game by Victor Oladipo, coming into the starting lineup with Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry held out due to various injuries. Oladipo had 23 points to lead the way for the Heat. He had 3 three-pointers in 36 minutes. And then they also got a double-double from Bam Adebayo, 20-11, and they got 16 points off the bench from Tyler Hero. Whereas the Hawks were led by DeAndre Hunter, he had 35 points and 11 rebounds, and then they also got 12 points from Kevin Huerter and Danilo Gallinari off the bench. But unfortunately for the Hawks, Trae Young just did not have it going in this game. He only managed 11 points. He was 2 of 12 from the field. He had 6 turnovers, so an off night to say the least for Trae Young. But despite that, they were actually in this game late. Obviously, according to the scoreline, it was close down the stretch of the fourth quarter, but the Heat were in control throughout the majority of the second half. It was back and forth throughout the first quarter and much of the second quarter, but then at the very end of the second, the Hawks' offense really stagnated. They were not able to buy a bucket for a stretch of several minutes in a row, and the Heat were able to build up a double-digit lead at the very end of the second quarter. Overall, in the second, it was 33-20 in favor of the Heat. So heading into halftime, they had a 12-point lead. It was 54-42. And then they were able to maintain that lead throughout the majority of the second half, like I said, the third quarter and even most of the fourth. It was all Miami. They led by 5 to 10 points throughout that entire span. But then at the very end of the game, at the end of the fourth quarter, that's when things started to get tight and the Heat offense slowed down. The Hawks went on a bit of a run and they were able to close the gap at the very end of the game all the way to within like a couple of points. It was a 21-foot pull-up jump shot from DeAndre Hunter with 1:14 left on the clock that cut it to just 2. It was 93-95. And that was really the capper on an incredible run by the Hawks. And specifically Hunter, throughout the fourth quarter, he ended up with 18 of his 35 points in the fourth. He was on fire. He was 6 of 8 from the field, including 2 three-pointers throughout that final period. So incredible stuff for the young forward Hunter. But unfortunately for the Hawks, it was not quite enough to overcome the Heat. They were just able to hold off the Hawks at the last second. So first, you had a dunk from Bam Adebayo off of a Victor Oladipo assist with 59 seconds to go. That one re-extended the lead to 4, 97-93 after that jumper from Hunter. And then following that, Trae Young got to the free throw line where he split. He missed the first, made the second. So at that point, it was 94-97. That was with 56 seconds left in the game. But as you can tell, based on the scoreline, neither team scored throughout the rest of the game. The Hawks really struggled to close that gap, but the Heat also struggled to extend the lead. So first, the Heat had the ball. They were able to run clock out. They were actually able to draw a foul on DeAndre Hunter, and he fouled out of the game at that point. So in the final 40 seconds of this game, there was no Hunter, and that was a problem because he was the only Hawks player to have anything going in the fourth quarter. So he goes out of the game. Eventually, the Heat put up a three-point attempt from Max Strus, but it's a miss. So that was with 30 seconds left. The Hawks got the ball back. So it didn't look like an insurmountable situation at that point. There's plenty of time on the clock. You're only down by 3. But from there on out, they just struggled to do anything with the ball. They actually got multiple looks, but they never really were able to make anything happen. So first of all, the swarming Heat defense prevented the Hawks from getting a look until 8 seconds left in the game. They squandered all that time. Gallinari finally took a 14-footer, but missed it. But the Hawks are able to get the offensive rebound, and then after a failed coaches challenge from Miami, the Hawks just have to inbound the ball. That's all they've got to do at this point. There's still 5 seconds left in the game, so they still remarkably have time to get a shot up. But they're on the baseline. They're inbounding from the baseline, so it's a tough angle. And their first attempt, nobody can get open, so they call a timeout quickly. And then another attempt, they get the ball into Danilo Gallinari, but he is in the corner, totally trapped. It's incredible defense from the Heat. He can't even turn around to see where anybody is, so eventually he just slings it across the court under the basket, and Bam Adebayo is able to intercept the pass, and that's all she wrote for this game. Time expires, and the Heat are able to hold on to that 3-point lead and win this game, eliminating the Hawks from the playoffs. So a really disappointing end to this game and the series overall for the Hawks, but an encouraging win for the Heat. The shorthanded Heat, who were, like I said, playing without Jimmy Butler, without Kyle Lowry. They had Victor Oladipo, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent in the starting lineup. Three unheralded guys, as Strus and Vincent are reclamation projects, undrafted guys from the Heat. And then Oladipo, of course, just coming back from his injury issues as well. So incredible stuff for the Heat to be able to withstand the Hawks' late run, close the series out, and they've now got plenty of time to rest because they are going to face the winner of the 76ers-Raptors series whenever that concludes. So they should have like at least a week to rest up, which is just what the doctor ordered for this banged up squad. So before we get to the box score, just a few team stats. The Heat were actually shooting the ball slightly more efficiently than the Hawks from the field. They were 45%, whereas Atlanta just 41%. But the Heat were actually ice cold from beyond the arc. They were only 22% from three, whereas the Hawks were actually 32%. And then additionally, the Hawks also had the edge on the boards. They out-rebounded Miami 42-33. They were benefiting from having Clint Capella back in the lineup, in the starting lineup. He only played 19 minutes, but he grabbed 8 rebounds in that time. And then Trae Young also had 8 rebounds. So that was beneficial, but what was not beneficial was the turnovers for Atlanta. They had 19 turnovers, thanks in large part to Trae Young's 6, DeAndre Hunter's 4, just way too sloppy with the ball handling. They were giving the Heat possessions down the stretch. So despite the 3-point shooting and despite the rebounding, those turnovers and just the field goal percentage overall was not good enough for Atlanta, and unfortunately, they are now eliminated from the postseason. All right, so we can move on now to the box score, and the Hawks were led by DeAndre Hunter, so an encouraging game for him at the very least. He had 35 points in 43 minutes. Like I said, 18 points in the fourth quarter alone. He was 11 of 21 from the field, 10 of 11 from the free throw line, and 3 of 7 from 3, so incredible efficiency across the board. He also had 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and he did foul out of this game. He had 4 turnovers, but nonetheless, incredible production across the board otherwise for Hunter. And he was actually +3 in the plus-minus, which was the only positive plus-minus amongst the starters. All 4 of the guys to see the court off the bench were not negative. They were all positive or neutral, but all 4 of the other starters other than Hunter were negative in that regard. So then they also got 12 points from Kevin Huerter in 33 minutes. He was actually pretty efficient, 5 of 9 from the field, including 2 3-pointers. He had 3 assists, 2 steals, a block, but he did have 3 turnovers, and he was negative 10 in the plus-minus. The team low in that regard was actually John Collins. He was negative 21 in his 26 minutes. He had 7 points only. He was 0 of 3 from beyond the arc. And then also ice cold was Trae Young. In fact, he was even worse, 2 of 12 from the field. He was just brutal in this game, 11 points. He was 0 of 5 from 3. He was at least 7 of 9 from the free throw line, and he had 8 rebounds and 6 assists. But then again, he also had 6 turnovers. And then just 2 points for Clint Capella, rounding out the starting lineup. In 19 minutes, he had 8 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, and he was negative 16 in the plus-minus. But off the bench for the Hawks, like I said, all of the guys were at least neutral, if not positive. So the team high in that regard is actually the backup big man, Onyeka Okongwu. He had 8 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals in 26 minutes. He was +12 in the plus minus. He played very well in this game. So going forwards, if I was the Hawks, I would probably be leaning towards inserting Okongwu into the starting lineup as the primary big man going forwards, because he is much younger than Capella at this point. And frankly, I think he's a better defender now with Capella getting up there in age. age. But anyways, they also got 12 points from Danilo Gallinari in 21 minutes only. He was 5 of 11 from the field, and he had 2 3-pointers, and he did nothing else in the box score, but he was plus 11 in the plus-minus. And then DeLon Wright, the backup point guard, had 7 points in 31 minutes, and he had 1 3-pointer, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. So really solid production from those three, Wright, Okongwu, and Gallinari. And then Timothy Luau-Cabarrot just saw the court very briefly, but he did not score in that time. And of course, there was no Bogdan Bogdanovic in this one due to that right knee soreness. And as for the Miami Heat, they were led by Victor Oladipo in the starting lineup in place of Jimmy Butler. He had 23 points in 36 minutes. He was quite efficient, 8 of 16 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and 4 of 4 from the free throw line. And he also had 1 rebound, 3 assists, 3 steals. He was plus 7 in the plus minus. Incredible stuff from Oladipo. And you'll recall that in one of the last games of the season against the Magic, he had that 40-point outburst as the Heat were resting their stars. And then that was the last game of the season. He didn't play in the first two games against the Hawks. And then in their last game, he had 6 points only in 23 minutes. So just incredible production from Oladipo out of nowhere, the 23 points in 36 minutes. And if they're going to be able to rely on him going forwards as like a significant offensive contributor, that is a huge boon for this Heat team, because that is one of the biggest things that they are lacking is offensive creation. They sort of rely too heavily sometimes on Tyler Hero or Jimmy Butler to just bail them out of a possession at the end of the game. So if they've got another offensive engine in Victor Oladipo, even if he's only like 75% of his former Indiana All-Star level, that's still a very valuable piece for the Heat and Eric Spoelstra going forwards. But frankly, in this game and in that last game of the season, he looked like his former All-Star self. So we shall see how that looks going forwards. But anyways, elsewhere in the starting lineup for the Heat, they also got 20 points from Bam Adebayo in 41 minutes. He was 7 of 11 from the field. He had 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. They also got 15 points from Max Strus. He was 6 of 12 from the field overall, 3 of 8 from 3, and he had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. And then they got 9 points from Gabe Vincent in the starting lineup in place of Kyle Lowry. He was 3 of 8 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. And PJ Tucker rounding out the starting lineup. He only had 4 points, but he was the team high in plus-minus. He was plus 14 in his 32 minutes. He was 2 of 6 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, so the numbers don't exactly jump off the page for Tucker, but he was playing some incredible defense throughout the game, especially down the stretch in the fourth quarter. And then off the bench for the Heat, they got 16 points from Tyler Hero in 33 minutes. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He was 0 of 4 from 3, but he had 4 assists, 1 rebound, 2 steals, and a block. And then 10 points for Caleb Martin in 21 minutes. And that was actually it in terms of the scoring off the bench. Duncan Robinson was 0 of 5 from the field in 13 minutes. And Dwayne Dedman just saw the court for 2 minutes, but he did not score in that time. All right, so at some point in the offseason, we'll probably do a postmortem on this Atlanta Hawks disappointing season. And of course, in the next couple of days, we'll be previewing that series that's upcoming between the Heat and whoever comes out of the 4-5 matchup, probably the Philadelphia 76ers. That's going to be a really interesting matchup. All right, but for now, we can move on to the next game of the night. It was the Memphis Grizzlies just edging past the Minnesota Timberwolves, 111-109. The Grizz now have a 3-2 series lead and will head back to Minnesota for Game 6. But the Grizz just edged past the Timberwolves in the end in this game thanks to a last-second layup from Ja Morant. It was an acrobatic game winner with just a couple of seconds left on the clock, and he gave the Grizz the victory. And overall, he actually led the team in scoring as well. He had 30 points, 9 assists, 13 rebounds. Incredible stuff. And then they also got 25 points from Desmond Bane and a big double-double off the bench from Brandon Clark, 21 points and 15 rebounds. Whereas the Timberwolves were led by Karl-Anthony Towns, he had a big double-double as well, 28 points and 12 rebounds, and then they got 22 points from the sophomore Anthony Edwards and 12 from D'Angelo Russell. But this was an exciting finish once again. The Grizzlies have a penchant in this series for making incredible comebacks. The Timberwolves were leading throughout the majority of this game. After trailing at the very beginning of the game, the Timberwolves quickly reestablished themselves and took command in the second quarter. In fact, they had a double-digit lead at the beginning of the second quarter after a layup from Naz Reid with 8:40 on the clock. It was 41-31 in favor of the Wolves. And then they were able to milk that lead throughout the rest of the first half, and then they actually expanded upon it in the third quarter. They outscored the Grizzlies 30-21 in the third. So they were actually leading pretty significantly at the end of the third, beginning of the fourth quarter, With 24 seconds left in the third, they had a 13-point lead. It was 85-72 after a three-footer from Malik Beasley. So it was looking like the Wolves might be able to come into Memphis and steal this game five, but that was not the case. It all started at the end of the third quarter, at the very end with 5 seconds left after the Timberwolves had already built up that lead. Ja Morant closed out the quarter with an incredible, insane dunk, probably the best dunk I can ever remember from the playoffs specifically. As the clock is running down, he drives the lane pretty much unimpeded, gets it in the paint, rises up, and demolishes Malik Beasley, who slides over. It was right up there with Morant's career highlights in terms of athletic, acrobatic moves, right up there with the Jakob Poeltl dunk from this year and the alley-oop that he also had. I mean, he is just by far the most jaw-dropping, eye-catching player in the league right now. And it was actually a very valuable play. It kind of galvanized the Grizzlies and the Grizzlies crowd at the end of the third and the beginning of the fourth. It helped spur them to close the gap in the fourth quarter. Ultimately, they outscored the Timberwolves 37-24 in that final fourth quarter. So complete domination by the Grizzlies in the final period, whereas the Timberwolves once again capitulating late. This is the second time in this series alone that they've given up a huge lead at the very end of the game. The Grizzlies were just on fire in that fourth quarter. It was kicked off by a three-pointer from Desmond Bane at the very beginning of the fourth. That one cut the deficit to just 8 for the Grizz. It was 77-85. And then Minnesota actually maintained about a 10-point lead for a few minutes, but then about halfway through the fourth, their offense completely stagnated. Dylan Brooks started off a run for the Grizzlies with a three-pointer with 6:42 left on the clock. At that point, after his three-pointer, it was once again an 8-point game, 91-99, and that kickstarted a 10-0 run as the Timberwolves were not able to score for like 2 minutes straight. They went from being up by 11, 99-88, to up by just 1, 99-98. It was capped off by a two-pointer from Brandon Clark that cut it to just 1. And at that point, the Grizzlies had all the momentum in the world. The crowd was going crazy, and it was just back and forth throughout that final stretch of like 4 minutes. There was some incredible shot making from both teams, frankly. Ja Morant hit a 10-foot floating jump shot with 4 minutes to go that cut the deficit to 1 again. It was 100-101 at that point. Then Anthony Edwards made a 19-foot pull-up jump shot with 3.5 minutes left, that one extending the lead to 3 once again for the Timberwolves. But then Ja Morant comes right back, gets to the free throw line, knocks down 2 free throws, cutting it to 1. And then down the stretch, Karl Anthony Towns hit a clutch three-pointer. That one was with 1:46 on the clock, once again re-extending that lead, this time to 4. It was 106-102. So despite the comeback attempt by the Grizzlies, the Timberwolves were not giving up down the stretch. Credit to them. They almost fended off the Grizzlies, but Memphis just had too much to handle. Ja Morant again got to the free throw line, knocked them both down, cut it to 2, and then he hit the absolute dagger three-pointer with 103 left on the clock, finally giving the Grizz the lead for the first time in like the entire game since the first quarter. They took the lead 107-106 off of that three-pointer with 103 left on the clock. So an incredibly clutch bucket from Morant. But that was not even the last or second to last clutch bucket in this game. So first of all, there was kind of a lull in the next 52 seconds where neither team were able to make anything happen. We were stuck at 107-106 with the Grizz having a 1-point lead. So first, Karl Anthony Towns turned the ball over with 49 seconds left on the clock, and then Ja Morant missed a floater with 29 seconds left on the clock. Brandon Clark actually got an offensive rebound, but then he missed the tip shot. Then eventually the Timberwolves got the ball back. D'Angelo Russell then missed an 11-foot pull-up jump shot. So it was really sloppy down the stretch. It looked like this game was just going to fizzle out. And eventually the Grizz got the ball back. Ja Morant gets fouled. So he goes to the line and he again knocks down 2 consecutive free throws. He was really clutch from the line, knocking down 6 consecutive free throws in the final 2 minutes of this game. So at that point, the Grizzlies look like they're going to be able to hold on to this game. It was 109-106. But then the Timberwolves finally get a bucket to fall, and it is an absolutely clutch three-pointer from Anthony Edwards with 3.7 seconds left on the clock. He hit a 23-foot three-pointer off of a Jordan McLaughlin assist, and that tied the game up 109 all. So incredible stuff from Edwards to respond to that earlier three-pointer from Ja Morant. So it's a tie game with just seconds left. Taylor Jenkins calls a timeout, so they're able to inbound from their own side of the court. Dylan Brooks is inbounding. He's able to get it to Ja Morant at the top of the key. He wastes no time, no hesitation, immediately drives into the lane. Jared Vanderbilt elevates for the contest, but Morant, in only the way that he could, acrobatically contorts around Vanderbilt midair, puts up the layup off the glass. He sinks it, gives the Grizz the two-point lead, and then with just 1 second left, Karl Anthony Towns is not able to make the full court heave. So an incredible finish to this game. It was already an insane three-pointer by Ja in the last minute to extend the lead. And then it was an incredible three-pointer from Anthony Edwards to tie the game up. And then Ja, of course, with the game winner. And ironically enough, it was actually Edwards who was guarding Ja on that final play after the timeout. And I don't want to be too harsh on him because, you know, it's like the last second of the game and mistakes are bound to be made. And defense isn't exactly his forte either, but still, he kind of allows Ja to just get an unimpeded look. He chases him around wildly instead of just sliding his feet in front of him laterally. He almost goes for the steal from behind, allowing Ja to grab the ball and drive the lane, like I said, unimpeded, and then he just has to put it up over Jared Vanderbilt, which is a task in and of itself, don't get me wrong, but still, just a little bit lacking there on the defense in that final play from Anthony Edwards. But nonetheless, incredible stuff for Ja Morant. It was an incredible game overall. The Grizzlies were only 41% from the field in this game, actually, and only 25% from three. So it was actually the turnovers and the rebounding where they won this game. Only 16 turnovers. I say only, that's still quite a few, but the Timberwolves, on the other hand, had 23 turnovers. That is way too sloppy, the ball handling for Minnesota. Karl Towns single-handedly gave the ball away seven times, and then Patrick Beverley had five turnovers. D'Angelo Russell had four. So that's disappointing. And then they were also dominated on the boards, despite having a fairly big lineup with Vanderbilt and Towns, both very capable rebounders. And to be fair, they both had double-digit rebounds, but they were still out-rebounded by the Grizz, 53-42. And this is despite the fact that Steven Adams is still not playing a single second in this series. Xavier Tillman has been starting, although he only played 16 minutes of this game. Brandon Clark actually played 37 minutes off the bench. He had 15 rebounds in this game, including 9 offensive rebounds. And then Ja Morant himself had 13 rebounds. In fact, all 5 of the starters had at least 3. So really incredible that despite the fact that the Grizzlies were shooting the ball pretty poorly in this game, they were still able to find a way to win. And they were certainly helped out by the Timberwolves' very sloppy ball handling. They actually shot the ball okay from the field, 44%. But they were on fire from beyond the arc, 44%. The Timberwolves were 14 of 33 overall from three. So that was not the problem at all for Minnesota. It was the other stuff. And they will certainly be disappointed to have let this game go in the fourth quarter. And like I said, they'll be headed back to Minnesota for game 6 on Friday. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Timberwolves were led, as I mentioned, by Karl Anthony Towns. He had a pretty incredible game, besides the turnovers. So he had 28 points in 35 minutes, 7 of 15 from the field, 5 of 7 from beyond the arc, and perfect 9 of 9 from the free throw line. So the scoring, pretty incredible for Towns, and he also had 12 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. So he was providing value throughout the box score, but then the 7 turnovers and the 5 fouls ultimately detracted quite significantly from his line. And then they also got 22 points from Anthony Edwards, despite his last-second three-pointer that helped tie the game. He didn't have the best line overall, 22 points on 8 of 20 shooting, and then he just had 1 rebound, and that was it. No assists, steals, blocks. He only had 1 turnover, but 5 fouls as well. So not the worst game in the world, but not exactly the most impactful game either from Edwards. And then just 12 points for D'Angelo Russell. He was 4 of 10 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 steals, though, but also 4 turnovers. And then 9 points for the veteran point guard Patrick Beverley. In 28 minutes, he was 3 of 6 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, but 5 turnovers, and he actually fouled out of this game. 6 fouls. So the fouls were just off the charts. Edwards, 5. Towns, 5. Beverley, 6. And then 3 for Russell. And then finally, Jared Vanderbilt, rounding out the starting lineup, had 6 points, 10 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. Off the bench for the Timberwolves, they got 10 points from Torian Prince. In 19 minutes, he had 3 rebounds, 3 assists. They got 9 points from Naz Reid, the backup big man. In 13 minutes only, he was 4 of 7 from the field. And then the team high in terms of plus-minus was actually Jaden McDaniels. In 18 minutes, he was plus 13 in the plus-minus. He only had 3 points, 2 rebounds, 2 blocks, but nice contributions, especially defensively, from McDaniels while he was on the court. And then they also got 8 points from Malik Beasley in 14 minutes, and he had 6 rebounds, and 2 points for Jordan McLaughlin in 17 minutes. And as for the Grizzlies, they were led, as I mentioned, by Ja Morant. An incredible performance. 30 points in 45 minutes. He wasn't super efficient. 9 of 22 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3, and 11 of 17 from the free throw line. But he was making them count late. Of course, like I said, hitting those 6 consecutive free throws in the final couple of minutes of this game and that clutch 3-pointer in the last minute. And then he also had 13 rebounds, 9 assists, and 3 steals. Now, he did have 5 turnovers, but still, the production throughout the box score and, of course, the 30 points and the game-winning layup were incredible for Ja Morant. And then they also got 25 points from Desmond Bane. He was slightly more efficient, 9 of 20 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3, and 4 of 4 from the free throw line. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. And then 12 points for Jaren Jackson Jr. He only played 18 minutes in this game, though. He fouled out after 18 minutes. This is something that a lot of people have been criticizing him for. The fouls, he just cannot help himself. Really disappointing that he only played 18 minutes in this game before fouling out. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks in that time. And then 8 points for Dylan Brooks. He was brutal in this game. 3 of 18 from the field, 1 of 10 from 3. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. He is, quite frankly, lucky that they won this game despite him. And then Xavier Tillman, like I said, rounding out the starting lineup, had 2 points, 3 rebounds in 16 minutes. But off the bench for Memphis, they got a big contribution from Brandon Clark. He played the majority of the center minutes with Jackson in foul trouble and Tillman only playing 16 minutes. Clark had 21 points, 15 rebounds in 37 minutes. He was 9 of 14 from the field. He had 3 assists and a block. Now, he was 3 of 7 from the free throw line, but nonetheless, the production otherwise really good for Clark. And then they also got 8 points from Kyle Anderson. He was perfect, 3 of 3 from the field in 18 minutes, and he had 5 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. And then 5 points for Tyus Jones, the backup point guard. He had 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. And he was actually the team high, plus 12 in his 20 minutes. And then John Conchar and Zaire Williams saw the court briefly, but neither of them scored. All right, and finally we can move on to Phoenix, where the Suns defeated the New Orleans Pelicans, 112-97. The Suns were led by Mikal Bridges. He had 31 points. He was 12 of 17 from the field, 4 of 4 from beyond the arc. And they also got 22-11 from Chris Paul and 19 points from DeAndre Ayton. Whereas the Pelicans were led by Brandon Ingram, he had 22 points, and then they also got 21 from CJ McCollum and a double-double from Jonas Valanciunas, 17-14. But unfortunately for New Orleans, they got down early, and they were never able to overcome the lead that the Suns built up basically in the first quarter. They were outscored in the first 32-20 by Phoenix, and then the Suns basically just maintained about a double-digit lead throughout the rest of the game. It waxed and waned a little bit. In the third quarter, it was up to 15, but then in the fourth quarter, it was down to 7. About midway through the fourth quarter, Jose Alvarado hit a 3-pointer with 5:23 left on the clock that cut the deficit to 7. It was 99-92. So the Pelicans did a good job of making things interesting, never really letting it get to blowout status. But the Suns also did an even better job of defending off the Pelicans throughout the game and always maintaining at least like a 5-point lead, especially there in the fourth quarter when the Pelicans were making that run. The Suns actually closed this game out with a trio of dunks. So first, Cameron Johnson with 1:55 left on the clock got a dunk that extended the lead to 9. It was 106-97 at that point. And then after some free throws from Mikal Bridges, he had 2 consecutive dunks, one with 41 seconds left, extending the lead to 13. It was 110-97. And then he got a final dunk with 29 seconds left off of a Chris Paul assist, extending that lead to 15. So just like that, the Suns were able to build up that lead and close this game out. The Pelicans just were not executing in the final like minute of this game. Their offense just sort of let them down, and the Suns were able to pull away and get the victory in the end. So it was a pretty solid comeback attempt by the Pelicans, but the Suns just had too much firepower there in the fourth quarter. And overall, they were just on fire in this game. 50% from the field, 37% from three. The Pelicans, on the other hand, just 40% from the field, 20% from three. So the three-point shooting was really a big difference in this one. The Suns, they went a combined 10 of 27 from beyond the arc, whereas the Pelicans, 5 of 25 from 3. And then New Orleans didn't help themselves at all with the turnovers. They had 15, whereas the Suns, very tidy with the ball, just 10 turnovers. The Pelicans, at the very least, had the edge in terms of the rebounding, but that was little consolation with the terrible shooting and the sloppy ball handling. So a solid win here for Phoenix, obviously still playing without Devin Booker. They now take a 3-2 series lead, and we will head back to New Orleans for Game 6 on Thursday. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Pelicans were led, as I mentioned, by Brandon Ingram. Another really solid game. He had 22 points in 41 minutes. Now, he wasn't super efficient, 7 of 19 from the field, but he had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 three-pointer. He was 7 of 11 from the free throw line, and he had 5 turnovers. So all in all, not the best game for Ingram. He still produced throughout the box score, but just not the efficiency that we've come to expect from him throughout this series. And he was also negative 16 in the plus-minus, which was the team low. And then they also got 21 points from CJ McCollum, but he was also not super efficient. 7 of 22 from the field. He was 1 of 8 from beyond the arc. He had 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks. And then the double-double for Jonas Valanciunas, 17 points and 14 rebounds in 32 minutes. He was actually very efficient, 7 of 11 from the field. He had 3 assists and 1 steal. And then 8 points for Jackson Hayes, starting alongside Valanciunas in the front court. He was 3 of 6 from the field, he had 3 rebounds, and the rookie Herb Jones rounding out the starting lineup didn't do a whole lot offensively. He just had 4 points on 1 of 5 shooting, but he was playing his trademark excellent defense. He had 7 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And off the bench for the Pelicans, they got 12 points from the rookie point guard Jose Alvarado. He was providing good energy. He had 2 three-pointers and 2 steals in that time. And then they also got 5 points from Larry Nance. He had 4 rebounds. He was 2 of 2 from the field in 20 minutes. 4 points for Najee Marshall in 7 minutes. 2 points for the backup guard Devontae Graham, although he was 0 of 3 from the field in 12 minutes. And the other rookie, Trey Murphy, had 2 points in 13 minutes. And as for the Suns, they were led by Mikal Bridges. He was absolutely incredible in this game. So first of all, he played 47 minutes, just missed a single minute of this game. Monty Williams rolling with Bridges for almost the entire game. And in that time, he was insanely efficient. 31 points on 12 of 17 shooting. He was 4 of 4 from the three-point line, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. And he also had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 4 blocks. And then he just had 1 turnover and 1 foul. He was plus 13 in the plus-minus. Incredible game for Bridges. And then they also got a double-double from Chris Paul. 22 points, 11 assists. He was 8 of 18 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3, but 6 of 6 from the free throw line, and he had 6 rebounds and 3 steals as well, and just 1 turnover for him, too. And then DeAndre Ayton had 19 points and 9 rebounds in 35 minutes. He was 8 of 13 from the field. He had 3 assists, and he was the team-high plus 19 in the plus-minus. And then 9 points for Jay Crowder in 23 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. And Cameron Johnson, rounding out the starting lineup, had 8 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists in 37 minutes. And off the bench for Phoenix, they got 12 points from the backup point guard, Cameron Payne. In just 12 minutes, he had 2 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. And then they got 6 points from Landry Shamet in 25 minutes, 3 for Aaron Holiday, and 2 for the backup big man JaVale McGee. Bismack Biyombo saw the court briefly, but he did not score in that time. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to our preview for tonight, Wednesday, April the 27th. And finally, we've just got 2 games on in the NBA tonight. Some of these series have wrapped up, so we're down to 2 games. And we start with the 3-6 matchup in the Eastern Conference, the Bucks taking on the Bulls in Milwaukee. This series is 3-1 in favor of the Bucks, so they have a chance to close it out here in Game 5. And they are unsurprisingly big favorites, minus 12. And then we almost have the exact same situation in the Western Conference. Also the 3-6 matchup, also 3-1 in favor of the higher seed, the Warriors, currently leading 3-1. And they are unsurprisingly big favorites at home against the Nuggets to close this series out in Game 5. They are minus 9. So 2 very similar games in the East and Western Conferences. Vegas obviously projecting blowouts in both. I think both of those teams will, in fact, win and close the series out. I'm not sure if they'll both be blowouts. The Bucks have looked pretty dominant over the Bulls in a few games, but the Bulls did have that one game where they looked really good themselves, and they've been competitive. Whereas the Nuggets, they've been less competitive, quite frankly. They did have that one win in Denver where Nikola Jokic was incredible, and he's actually been incredible this whole series, but they just are significantly outmanned by the incredible Golden State Warriors. With Curry, Thompson, and Poole firing on all cylinders like they've been, I just see no scenario in which the Nuggets can keep this series going. So I think I probably would lean towards Warriors minus 9 if I had to pick in that one, but it's going to be a stay away from me just because that line is pretty high, and I'm not sure if they'll blow out the Nuggets necessarily or if it'll be a close one, but I do think the Warriors will definitely win that game. On the other hand, I'm not so sure if the Bucks will be able to cover minus 12. That is a huge line, and the Bulls have been fairly competitive in this series, and of course they're going to be without Chris Middleton for the foreseeable future, so I think that line seems a bit too high. I am going to take the Bulls plus 12 as our best bet, and we're going to stay away from the other one. I just think that the Bulls can, at the very least, keep things close. I do think the Bucks will probably end up winning, but I think DeMar DeRozan will show up. Zach LaVine might hit a couple of big shots, and I think they can keep it close. So we're going to go with the Chicago Bulls plus 12, and that's going to be our only best bet of the night. All right, and that will do it for us today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap those two games and to preview the action for Thursday, April the 28th. So until then, thanks for tuning in.